Today we are doing Daf Ches Amud Beis. We left off on the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Aleph, another Lebedik Amud. We are holding last line of the page, Ches Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Ami, Li'olam Yashlim Adam Parshiyosav Imatzibur Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum. A person is supposed to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum. You should read the Chumash twice and the Targum once. And not only that, Vafilu Ataros V'Divon. Even words like Ataros and Divon, you should do Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum. Says Rashi, what's special about those words? There are lots of words in the Torah that you got to do all of them. Shnei mikra vecha targum, says Rashi. She'ein bo targum. There is no targum on those words, and even those you got to do shnei mikra vecha targum. How exactly do you do that? So, good question. Tosa says that ataros v'divon are chosen because there is a targum on those words, just not a targum unklus. There's a targum Yerushalmi. So even when there's only a lesser known targum on the words, you still have to find the targum and do it. Rabbi Yechiel Weberman likes to tell the story. The first time he ever made a siyum hashas, Rashiva of Shoyashiv of Naftali Yeager came over to him afterwards and said, you should know that it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you have a chiv to finish Shas, but it does say that you have a chiv to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum. So it's wonderful you finish Shas, but make sure you also do Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum. That is an absolute chiv that you have to do. And so in some ways it feels harder than finishing Shas sometimes.
Someone who just does Shnayim Mikra with Rashi, like,
So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that we do Rashi. So that's fine to do Rashi. They say that if there's no Rashi, then you should read the pasuk a third time or read the Targum. Someone who finishes the Parshios with the Tzibur is going to have Arichos Yamim Vishanim, live many days and years. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, he had the plan of finishing up the Parshios of the entire year on Erev Yom Kippur, to make sure that by the time Yom Kippur came, he was all paid up on his chayveis in terms of Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum. There's an alternate gears over here, if you look in the Masoras HaShas, not the Kula Shasa, but the Kala. The Kulu Parshiyasa de Kala. What is the Kala? The Kala is the special shear they would have right before Yontif. And apparently, Rav Bibi Bar Abaye got really busy before Yontif because he had to give the special shiurim right before Yontif. So he kept on missing Shnayim Mikra Ve'chatargum throughout the entire months of Elul and Adar. So he had to make up those parshios, and those are the ones that he wanted to make up before Yom Kippur. So Tana Lechia Barav Midifti. Siv, you know, the Torah says, V'inisem esnaf shosechem b'tisha l'chodesh, that a person is supposed to afflict himself on the ninth day of the month, ba'erev, in the evening. That's referring to Erev Yom Kippur, right? V'chi b'tisha m'sanin, but wait a second. Do we fast on Erev Yom Kippur? V'alo ba'asara m'sanin. We fast on Yom Kippur itself, on the tenth day of Tishrei. So what's going on in that pasuk? Ela lomar l'cha. The pasuk is trying to teach you. If someone eats and drinks on the ninth day of Tishrei, it's considered as if, the Torah considers it as if, he has fasted on the ninth and tenth day. Says Tosos, and what's the big deal about fasting on the ninth day? There's no mitzvah to do that. So what do you mean? It's like he fasted on the ninth day. It's like he fasted, you know, last Tuesday. Who cares if he fasted last Tuesday? So Tosos writes, no, Im nitztavelis anos yom tes, Tosos adds. If there was a mitzvah to fast on the ninth day, it's like he fasted on 2 days that there was a mitzvah to fast on. Why is there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Tishba, on Erev Yom Kippur, rather? So it seems that the requirement is some, there's a discussion in the Rishonim, but it seems that the requirement is related to some sort of hachana, that it's a preparation for the day of Yom Kippur that's built into Torah law that one should prepare by eating. Or it may just be a separate standalone chiyuv. Nafkamina is, what if you have a person who's not going to fast on Yom Kippur? You have a chola who's not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Do they have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Another nafkamina might be, is a woman, Rabbi Kivega discusses, is a woman chayiv to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Why yes? Why would you say yes? Because if she has to fast on Yom Kippur, she should have to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. Why no? Mitzvah Shasman Grama. Rabbi Kivega was asked by a woman who was told by her doctors not to eat and she wanted to eat because it was a mitzvah. So Rekiveger gave it over the head. He said, this is a ridiculous question. If her doctors say, she's got to listen to her doctors. She has to, you know, she's a chola, she has to do what the doctors say. But once you ask me, I might as well just say some Torah on the matter. So we'll talk about women in general, whether they're included in the mitzvah. And that's when he wrote his whole famous tshuva. So the shaila itself was like totally irrelevant. And he said, and just as an afterthought, he wrote the famous tshuva on the topic. Anyway, Savrul Akdu Minhu, he wanted to make it earlier, meaning to finish the Shnayim Merkavei Chatargum a couple of weeks early, meaning to get ahead of it. So Amaleihu Saba Tanina Ubavach Shlo Yakdim Shlo Yachir. No, we learned that you're not supposed to get ahead in Shnayim Merkavei Chatargum or fall behind in Shnayim Merkavei Chatargum. One is supposed to keep pace. Kedamalu Rabbi Shor ben Levi, but which, by the way, gives the indication that Shnayim Merkavei Chatargum is not just a curriculum in finishing Torah, but it's somehow a hachana for Kriyas HaTorah, that you got to be on pace with the Kriyas HaTorah. That's also some numbers. What? What is the whole? Tuesday thing, because the Gemara says that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is called La'achar Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is called Rufnei Shabbos. So it's still no Gaya to the previous Shabbos. But generally speaking, that's not ideal. Mussin tells him. Kedamar lehu Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi lebnei, ashlimu parshiyosaychu ima tzibur shnayim mekraveh chatargum. You should be mashlim with the tzibur shnayim mekraveh chatargum. Tosav here points out that you should really get it done before Shabbos lunch, that it's supposed to be done before you eat lunch on Shabbos. And he says you could start already after Mincha and Shabbos. Once they're already moving on to the next parsha, that's when you can start the next week's parsha. The Zaru Bivaridin Krab Yehuda, a second bit of advice from Shimon Levi gave to his son, was when you do Shechita, make sure you cut all the capillaries, all the blood vessels, to make sure the blood drains properly. Ditanan Rabbi Domer Achi Yishchot Asavaridin, that you have to Shecht all the Varidin. The Zaru, and third bit of advice, the Zaru Bezakin Shashachach Talmudo Machmas Onsa. So be very careful about properly honoring a zaken who has forgotten his learning through no fault of his own. How did he forget his learning through no fault of his own? Didn't he not chazer enough? No, maybe he got sick and he couldn't, and he lost it. So he lost his learning. You have to be very careful to honor him properly. Where do we see that you have to honor someone who's not a Talmud Chacham anymore? Damrinan, luchos v'shivrei luchos menachos ba'aron. You know what was placed in the aron, which is where all the Kedushas HaMikdash emanates from? Not just the luchos, the shivrei luchos as well, the broken luchos as well. So you see, a Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning has to be given a great deal of honor. Rav Soloveitchik discusses, does he have to be given the same honor as a Talmud Chacham who still has his learning? Or maybe it's a madrega below that. You don't give quite the same honor, but he still needs to be honored. Okay, so a discussion about that point. So first thing we learned over here is point number one, to do Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum on pace with the Tzibur, and not on Erev Yom Kippur, because you're supposed to be eating then. Right, don't try to pack it all in Erev Yom Kippur, because you're supposed to be packing in the food in Erev Yom Kippur. Point number two, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's three bits of advice to his son. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, three bits of advice to his son. A, Shnayim Mekravei Chatargum. B, cut the varidin, the blood vessels. And C, be careful about the cover of a Talmud Chacham who has forgotten his learning. Now, once we mention Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's three bits of advice, we're going to mention Rava's three bits of advice to his son. Amalu Rava Lubnei. Rava said to his son, number one, Kashatem Chotchen Basar Al Techtuchu Al Gavayad. When you cut meat, don't cut like on your hand, on the back of your hand. And we'll see why. Ika da Amri, one possible explanation of why is Mishum Sakana, because that is a stupidly dangerous thing to do. Viga da Amri, Mishum Kilkul Su'uda. That's not dangerous, you just might cut yourself a little bit, and even a little bit of blood in your food is going to ruin your lunch. So you don't want to ruin the Su'uda, even if it's just going to be a little bit of blood. Second bit of advice, Val Teshval Mitas Aramis. Don't sit on Armenian women's beds. And number three, don't pass behind the shul when the tzibur is davening. So what was that second one about the beds of an aramis? So Val Teshuval Mitas Aramis, says the Gemara, what's that about? Ikada Amri lo tignu below Kriyashma. It's a euphemism. It means don't go to sleep without Kriyashma. It's like going to sleep with it's like you're sleeping a goyish asleep if you go to sleep without Kriyashma, right? That's what it is. It's a euphemism, but it really means when you go to sleep, you go to sleep like a Jew. Also, you go to sleep, you say Kriyashma when you go to sleep. Vigadamri de lo tinsuvu giyorta. Some say no. It means don't marry a Gioras, meaning don't sleep in an Aramis's bed, meaning a former Aramis, even though she has now converted, you shouldn't marry her. The Igada Amri, Aramis Mamish, Umisham Maisad Rav Papa. And some say, no, he literally means don't sit on the bed of an Aramis, because you know the famous story of Rav Papa. No, I don't know the famous story of Rav Papa. Well, good, I'll tell you. Rav Papa Azal Gabe Aramis. Rav Papa went to go visit an Aramis. Hotia Lomita, she took out a bed for him. Amr Lo Shev, said, please, have a seat. Amr La, Eini Yoshev Ad Shetakbiya Samita. I'm not going to sit till I see what's under that bed. Higbiya Samita, she lifted up the bed, or he lifted up the bed, Umatsu Sham Tinok Mace, and there was a dead child under there. She was trying to set him up for the murder of the child. That she would say, oh my God, you sat on the child and you've killed him. But he was already dead, and she was just trying to frame him. Mikan Amr Chacham Asulesha of Mitaram. So, lesson learned. Don't sit on the bed of an Aramis. And Valtavru Achori Beis HaKnesset, that third bit of advice, don't walk behind the shul b'shar shatzibur mispalalim, when the Sibra is davening, misayele the Rabbi Shoban Levi. This is a raya to Rabbi Shoban Levi. Am Rabbi Shoban Levi, asul la'adam shi'avar Achori Beis HaKnesset b'shar shatzibur mispalalim, because Rabbi Shoban Levi said exactly that, that you're not allowed to walk behind the shul when the Sibra is davening. Amra bayevlo amra el deleka pischa achrina. That's only if there's no other door to the shul. What's the problem of walking past the shul when the tzibur is davening? So Rashi writes, Asur lavur shenire kimavriach atzmo mipesach beis haknesset shebemizrach. It looks like you're trying to run away from the door of the shul, meaning everyone's davening to Hashem. There's a door wide open to invite you to daven to Hashem, and you're going in the other direction. Very similar to the halacha we saw yesterday. Don't sit by the door when you're in the shul, because you don't want to look like you're running away from the shul. Aval ika pischa achrina. But if there is another door to the shul, less than bad, then there's no problem with walking behind the shul, because everyone will just assume that you prefer to use the other entrance. And also, it's only if there's no other shul, because then it just looks like you're running away from Hashem. But if there's another shul, everyone just figures that you're upset with this shul, so you're going to the other shul, or this shul doesn't daven the right nusach, or they daven too fast or too slow, or the rabbi speaks too long, or whatever. So you go to the other shul. So everyone just assumes that you have some other reason. Aval ika be knishta achrina. Less than but if that's why, if there's another shul, you don't have to worry about this. And there's also, if you're not carrying packages and you're not running and you're not wearing tefillin, avlika chad mehanach. Less than but if you have any of these things going on, then we're not concerned, because it doesn't look like you're running away from avodas Hashem. So point number three, Rava's three bits of advice were: don't cut meat on the back of your hand. And what were the reasons for that? Not to cut the meat? It's either sakana or ruining your meal, right? Ruining your lunch. B was don't sit on a mitas aramis, but we had three explanations of what that even means. What does that mean? Right, say Shema. Don't sit on aramis' bed, because you never know when she's framing you for murder. What was the middle one? Don't marry Gioras. Good. And then the third bit of advice Rava gave was don't walk behind the shul when the Sibur is davening. But there were a whole bunch of exceptions, such as there's another shul in town, you're holding stuff, there's another door, tefillin, you're running, so it looks like you're in a rush. People like to pretend they're in a rush when they're trying to avoid shul. Okay, Tanya, Am Rabbi Akiva, b'shlosh dvarim oiv ani es hamadim. He says there are three things that I love people from Madai. Three things I just love about them. Number one, k'shechotchem es habasrein cholchin el al gabei hashulchan. When they cut meat properly. They do it on the table. And number two, k'shenoshkin einoshkin el al gab hayad. When they kiss on the back of the hand, which is a sign of chashivus. And as Rashi points out, al gav hayad es yad chaveru hu noshek v'derech chashivus hu zeh mipnei harok. It is better than kissing on the mouth, because there's saliva and that is gross. Number three, ukshe yotzin ein yotzin ela besode. When they give, when they discuss important private matters, they're dealing with issues that are important, they do so in the field where other people cannot overhear them. As Rashi says, damri and chi, you know what people say, aznayim lekosel. the walls have ears, so that meaning there are always people listening in. So the best place to go if you want to have an actual private conversation, where there are no walls, because then there are no ears. Amar Rav Ad Bar Rav Maikra, what's the pasuk that teaches us this? When Yaakov had to have a very private conversation with Rachel and Leah about maybe it's time to leave your father's house and go back, he does so in the field out by where the sheep are, because there are no walls, no one will overhear him. So three things to learn from Madian: cut meat on the table, kiss on the hands, and meat in fields. Meat as in M-E-E-T. Cut meat was M-E-A-T. Right. What? Third one was to meet out in the fields. We have important matters to discuss. The second was a kiss on the hands. Yeah, the feet wouldn't be so good. Tanya, Amar Rav Gamliel. B'shlosh d'varim oy v'anias ha-parsiyim. There are three great things about the Parsiyim. They're very modest in the way that they eat. They are modest in the way that they relieve themselves. They don't have like the Yankee Stadium urinals, I guess. You know, they have like more yeshivish, private. And they are tsanua in the way that that they have tashmish shamita b'davar acher. Anitz v'isi l'mukdasha. Tani Rav Yosef, elu ha-parsiyin ha-mukdashim l'zumanim l'gehenim. These are the Parsiyim that are Mekudashin. Mekudashin literally means designated. So they're designated for Gehenim in general. Even though they had, despite these three positive qualities, they're Mezuman for Gehenim. But anyway, we can learn Tznius from the Parsiyim in their eating, their bathroom habits, and Tashmish. Ram Gamliel Omer, now we're back to Halacha. Oh, so we had three opinions in the Mishnah about the latest time to say Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis. What were the three opinions? Who remembers this, right? We had Reb Lazar said Shmur Rishona. We had the Chag say Chatzos, and Reb Gamliel said all night long, right, until Amud Shachas, says the Gemara. Reb Gamliel over. Amud Rav Yidom Shmuel. Halacha Reb Gamliel. Halacha like Reb Gamliel, you have all night. Tanya B'Shem Benichai Omer, Pa'amim Shadim Kor Kriyas Shema Shtei Pam B'Laila. Sometimes a person can daven Kriyas Shema two times in a night, could say Kriyas Shema twice in a night, one right after the other, achas kodem she'al amud ha-shachar, v'achas yach she'al amud ha-shachar, one right before amud ha-shachar, and one like a minute later, right after amud ha-shachar. So he said Kriyas Shema twice, like within minutes of each other, v'yotze ben yidei chavaso, and he's yotze yischiyuv, achas shel yom, achas shel laila. He's yotze yischiyuv of both Kriyas Shemas, Kriyas Shema shel arvis and Kriyas Shema shachris. So it says, but wait a second, isn't that whole statement contradictory and confusing? Hagufa kasha, it's inherently problematic, this statement. Amrit pa'am shadim kor kriya shema shtei pa'amim belaila. It said that the case that we're giving is a person reads kriya shema twice at night. Al malach shalom rashachar leilehu. Implying that both of these Kriyas Shemas are being said at night, which would mean the moments immediately following Amud HaShachar are still considered night. V'hadar Tani, but then it says Yotze Ben Yidei Chavaso Achashel Yom V'Achashel Laila Alma Yamamahu. But then it says that one of these Kriyas Shemas, you're actually Yotze in the midst of Kriyas Shema of Yom. So it sounds like it's daytime. So which is it? Are the moments immediately following Amud HaShachar, are they night or are they day? Says Moralo, Liolam Lelehu. They're night. You're still Yotze Kriyas Shema Shel Shachar, even though they're night. Why? Because is the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema to be done by Yom necessarily? When is it? Uvkumecha, it's when you wake up. Vahadakari Le Yom. The reason we call it Yom is Diika Inshi Dikhaimi Vayishaita. There are people that wake up at that time. Amar Avacha Barchanin, Amar Bishu Ben Levi, Halach Rishu Ben Yechai. We pass the Rishon Manichai that if you time one Kriyas Shema immediately before Amud HaShachar, one right after Amud HaShachar, Yotze both. Ika demasni lahadar Rav Acha Bar Chanina aha. Some of Rav Acha Bar Chanina's comment in the following context. Did time Rishon Manichai or Rishon Rabbi Akiva? Pa'am shadim kor Kriyas Shema shtei pa'amim bayom achas kodam aneitzachama v'achas achar aneitzachama. That sometimes a person greets Kriyas Shema twice consecutively during the daytime, one immediately preceding Neitzachama and one right after on Neitzachama. V'yotze ben yidei chavaso achas shalayim, achas shalayla. And you yotze two kriya shemas, nighttime shema and daytime shema. But again, same problem over there, even though we're talking about a different time period. Hagufa kasha. Amr pam shad mekor kriya shema shtei pam bayom. It refers to both right before Netzachama and right after Netzachama as both of them being what? Daytime. Alma kodem Netzachama yamamu. So you see the moments immediately preceding Netzachama are already daytime. But then it says that in that Kriya Shema that you read in those last moments, right before our Netzachama, you yotze Kriya Shema shel Arvis, which sounds like it's nighttime. It says, well, look, Le'olam Yomamahu. Really, it is daytime. V'adukar le'lele, the reason we call it nighttime, is the ki'inshi de'ganu v'yishayta. There are some people that are still sleeping at that time. Let's try to get to the two dots, because it'll just be a better stopping point. Amar Rabbi Acham Rabbi Chanina Amar Rabbi Shur Ben Levi. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Shem Rishon Rabbi Akiva. Now we pask in this way, that if you say Kriya Shema right before a Netzachama and right after a Netzachama, you yotze both. Amar Rabbi Zeru Ubulvad Shalo Yomar Hashkivenu. It's an interesting lashon, Ubulvad Shalo Yomar Hashkivenu, but he's saying don't say Hashkivenu. Why not say Hashkivenu? Hashkivenu is about going to sleep. This is still when people may still be asleep, but don't say Hashkivenu in this time, because no one is going to sleep at this time. Right? As Rashi writes, HaKori Kriya Shema Shalai L'Shachru Samach L'Mer HaShachru Lo Yom Hashkivenu She'ein Od Zman Tchilas Shchiva. This is no longer a time when people are going to sleep. El Zman Sof Shchiva. The interesting thing is, it says Ubulvad. You're Yotze, but only if you didn't say Hashkivenu. Makes it sound like if you said Hashkivenu, you're not even Yotze the Shema. Why would that be the case? I understand it's inappropriate to say Hashkivenu. Why would you not be Yotze? Okay, something to think about. Ki Yasser Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar Had Rav Yaakov Rav Chanina Rav Yosef Ben Levi Lav Beferish Itmar Ela Mechlola Itmar. That he said that this comment of Rav Yaakov Rav Chanina Rav Yosef Ben Levi was never said explicitly, that you could be Yotze both Kriya Shemas. It was never said explicitly. It was derived from something else that happened. Because there were a couple of rabbis that got drunk at the wedding of the son of Rabbi Shur ben Levi, so they overslept and they missed Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. When they woke up, they came to Rabbi Shur ben Levi and they wanted to know, can they still say Kriya Shema? Amar Kedaihu Rabbi Shimon Lismo Chalav B'Shas Adchak. He said you could rely on Rabbi Shimon during a Shas Adchak. What does that imply? That only during a Shas Adchak, but if it were not a Shas Adchak, then it would not be okay to say Kriya Shema. So we missed a couple of points at the bottom. We did learning Tznius from the Parsiim, yeah? So the last one is, you can be Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Shachris when it's technically night, because some people are getting up. Or you can be Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Arvis when it's technically morning because some people are still sleeping. Those are the two Lashonos. Right? Either you can be Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Arvis Shel Shachris when it's technically night because at least some people are getting up already. Or you can be Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Arvis when it's technically day because some people are still sleeping. Okay, that is Ches Amidus.